Hello to our listeners. I'm Chetna, and this is episode 59 of Talking Marketing. Today's conversation is one I have been genuinely excited about because it sits right at the intersection of creativity, performance, and how modern marketing actually gets done. This is AMA Collab of the Year, Claire Farrell, representing AMA Cincinnati, in conversation with me, representing AMA Boston. Also, before we dive in, a quick thank you to our sponsors, Brick Marketing, a trusted Boston digital marketing agency with 20 years of experience, helping businesses drive strategy and implementation that solves complex businesses. Brick Marketing achieves sales, business, and marketing goals by offering the following solutions: SEO, GEO, content marketing, social media, PPC, email marketing, website development, and AI marketing. You can learn more at brickmarketing.com, and we are grateful for their support in making this conversation possible. So, our guest today, Claire, brings over a decade of experience across graphic design, digital marketing, CRM, lead generation, and strategic leadership. What makes their journey especially compelling is that it didn't start in analytics dashboards or automation workflows. It started in design. So, to Claire, how are you, Claire?
Hi, thank you so much for having me and creating a space for this discussion. I'm doing good.
Would you like to introduce yourself for our listeners today?
Yeah, so I'm Claire Farrell. I'm a creative marketing and strategist and co-assistant vice president of American Marketing Association, Cincinnati Young Professionals Community. I work with companies of all sizes to connect and build creativity, strategy, and process from ground design to campaign execution, where I really drive in the data results.
This has been like a decade-long journey for you. If you had to describe it in one word, how would you describe it?
Oh, wow. Very explorative. It was always kind of the word I had with me for the whole journey is just, it's okay if you don't know the right answer right now, but through exploration and collaboration and support from your community and my friends, it's been really fun just learning new aspects and not necessarily putting the pressure on to know all the right answers.
That's a great way to describe the journey. It's been explorative. So many curves and strategic moves, and now here we are.
A lot of pivots.
Yes.
But no, it's great because it's all been towards what my value is and what's important to me.
Over time, the foundation in creativity evolved into a much broader strategic lens, using data, CRM systems, automation, and performance insights, not to replace creativity, but to strengthen it. Along the way, she has worked with more than 25 organizations, like she said, led integrated campaigns, trained sales teams, and helped align brand, marketing, and revenue in many ways teams struggle to achieve. So let's start at the beginning and set the stage for everything that follows. Claire, can you walk us through your journey from a graphic designer to creative marketing strategist and share key moments that shaped your confidence and approach?
Yeah, of course. So, going way back when, early college, one thing that's always been strong for me is being a creative and looking in the fine arts and working with my hands. Since a kid, I've always been very passionate of art and, every little girl's dream to be an artist in the future. And so I went to school for graphic design, but not initially. Initially, it was do I do graphic design? Do I do fine arts? And really, through my classes and my awesome mentors and professors, really honed in on that graphic design element and the business side that comes from the art world. And so when I made that pivot as a fine artist at trade, I didn't have that computer skill set. So a lot of my peers had within the school. So basically, by being new to graphic design, there definitely was a fear that came in from that. And imposter syndrome is the buzzword now for it. And really seeing myself in that space of, wow, I don't understand Adobe as quick, or I don't understand this concept as quick. And so I really spent that extra time outside of the classroom and listening to what my teachers were saying of these are the fundamentals. I remember a class of just drawing circles every day. And all the classmates of mine, including myself, were like, we don't want to draw circles anymore. We're done. But, really leaning on my professors, like, why are we drawing circles? And it's about the idea of the fundamentals, that the circles are the discipline of understanding space and value and the discipline of patience as you develop these skills. And then taking that into the computer world with graphic design, it was clunky. How do I go from a free flow from the shoulder to the arm artist to a computer mouse and a screen and relying on when my teachers say, my professors say, you got to be quick at the key commands and understand color theory and typography. But fine art is still there when you're creating those discovery calls and concepts and logos, when you're sitting there with a client and you're on a napkin and you're like, these are my ideas, to be quick and able to sketch out your ideas on a website, UX, UI design. Yeah, you can still do it in the graphic computer world, but having those skills where you can show it in a pitch on the moment is very, very important. So I really just trusted the process and trusted in my professors and started saying I was a graphic designer before I even know what Adobe really was. And one of the first things that really honed that for me is during that anxiety and imposter syndrome, shall we say, I created my own business card. And it wasn't necessarily, to me, I was like, this isn't true, this is fake. But, Claire, my main name, Claire Ceramelli with graphic designer with a logo. I made the logo. That's one thing I was proud of. I made the logo and I made a fun background. And I started handing them out to people. Relevant of if they needed services or whatever. It was just, I was proud of it. And that really became like my first networking, really, within my school. And I just started hanging out this business card. And not only did people start seeing me as serious and help me really get quick on the skill sets, but also it helped build my confidence and being, I can do this. This is who I am. This is what I can be. And then from there, having this unique opportunity of being an intern within the art department, interning in admin, signing out all those postcards and working with the admin team and learn how to be quick on the on your feet and understand a little bit of that corporate business lingo when you're propositioning yourself for making postcards for high school students. And high school students, do you want to go to Thomas More? How do you go to Thomas More? What does that look like? What is the proposition for you to apply? And I didn't know these words like proposition or, I didn't know a lot of this stuff, but that is what I was doing. So that business card, I still have it. It's still on my wall in my art room and it's very prominent because it's where I started. And having that confidence of, hey, I'm gonna put myself out there. We're gonna see what catches. And we can go into it a little bit more if you wish, but going from that creative to, oh, I'm in marketing, I thought I was going to an HR department. I didn't know what department I belonged in. I just knew I was art. And I'm like, I don't know, HR, marketing, business, operations put me somewhere, but really interesting what the word marketing means and then those keywords. Also, I have an associate's in psychology. And so that was also a really fun realm to see how does the brain work and why does it work that way. So it's been a really fun journey. And that's the early years of me as an artist.
While I was listening to you, I just kept thinking how the business card that you created an identity for you. And then that's how you pivoted towards marketing. And at a time where you were not sure which direction you would be going, and you end up in marketing and as a graphic designer with an associate's in psychology, and now you're in marketing, being a director, leading sales teams and all. This has been, like I said, an incredible, incredible journey. I'm really excited to learn more about you through this conversation. How has your background in design shaped your strategic thinking, and how do you balance creativity with data and technology like CRM analytics?
Yeah, it's a really important question because it's a question I've asked myself a lot, right? So I graduated in 2019 with a graphic design. I've done 3 to 4 internships at this point. I entered in the workforce as a marketing coordinator slash graphic designer. And, at first I'm like, that's confusing. What does that mean? And then from that position, I really got to, back to my main word, explore and see what other things are out there. So email marketing, UX, UI design, coaching with sales, communicating with sales, growing a department that was of one, and I was that one, and learning how to play around and have fun with it. To then also working with the HR department. My biggest thing is that marketing isn't just helping the external business, it's also helping the internal culture. And so partnering with HR is something I've always gone after and appreciate. Working with the service communities and supporting food drives and holiday functions to I started an employee spotlight spot. on the operations walls to really increase morals of the operations teams and really celebrating, hey, you did that. You made this awesome new product and we did a release on it. Let's put a spotlight of that employee on the walls and working with HR and understanding their values. So for me, it's marketing is such a special spot within a company because you get to touch all departments and you can't just stay narrowed in on one side. It's about the full journey of that business, which really helps when I communicate with my clients now and talk about what is your growth, then who's also on your team. To really understand that creative side, but then the data analytics side, I've always wanted to know why, which is why I went to psychology. I've always wanted to know why. I would ask the silliest questions in high school to my classmates of like, well, how did they do that? How did they make that work? And, everyone's like, well, we don't know. Why are you asking why? And I'm still obsessed with the why. And so marketing really helps you explore that. And then being on that data side, it validates or pivots that direction of thinking. So what really helps me is thinking of it like data and creativity are one and the same. They're partners, and you can't have one without the other. So, like for creativity, data gives that oomph of direction and validation that this is creating a community or the right audience, or there is a direction. Even if you're a fine artist, it's important to have the data. You look at those TikTokers creating all their fun beading and jewelry, but who are they trying to attract that to and which video did better? The data helps drive that to the business world. For data, creativity is super important because you can have data, but unless you have creativity to give it life to really test out your other ideas, then you're just a theorist. So it's important to have theories, important to have data, but then creativity and that right brain, stereotypical right brain thinking, it really melds them together, and you can't have one without the other. So it took me that 6+ years to really understand it's not about who am I? Am I going the data route, marketing expert route, or am I going that graphic design creative route? It's about the idea that they're one and the same. I'm one and the same. And that's what I really have developed in the last 2 years is that understanding.
I feel that's like one of the most important distinction to make in your mind that it's not a separate thing, that data informs creativity and creativity informs data, and both of them walk side by side. It's not like we have to choose one out of the other, because I have just started my journey in marketing and I'm still trying to learn the ropes of data, but my creativity is what's gonna drive the data that I'm trying to achieve results out of, and it's vice versa.
And it's important too to note that if you are able to cross, and I'm gonna call left brain, right brain, that's really not what it is, but if you're able to cross that those brain thoughts, you're a powerhouse. You're able to really understand that field. But if you're not able to, you can still be that powerhouse within that expertise skills and become that specialist and just really build your network for people who are better on that analytical Excel document side. So it's not that one way is right or the other. It's just knowing where is your strong, where are your strengths, and honing into that.
Rightly said. While we are talking about understanding your skill set and your approach, Claire, would you like to share with us how your journey in AMA started?
Yeah, so with American Marketing Association, as we're both members of, and I'm sure your audience are also very well aware of the association, it's been such a great group to be a part of, especially Cincinnati chapter, because I joined in 2021, and this is right when COVID was still pretty relevant, and I was looking for that next step. I'm feeling a little stuck in this whole graphic design, marketing coordinator, marketing strategist, marketing manager realm. But I had that graphic design creative and really trying to figure out, okay, there's that. But then also, I have a sales energy a little bit. So, do I want to pivot completely? What does that look like? Really confused. So, I joined AMA in 2021, where I met the amazing board that, as you know, for the Boston, I know the Boston team as well. Boston team has an amazing board too, very proactive and very caring and supportive. So I have gathered so many awesome friends and mentors through AMA. But it was scary because as a young professional at the time, you're thinking now, everyone's older than me or have more experience than me. And I'm sharing stories. And it's like, I had such a large group of mentors and friends. But then also, it's like, where are those people that just girl, I get it. You know, want to just talk it through with you and just share their story almost more so than just giving advice. But then also to see that other young professionals are out there, because I was significantly younger than most of my colleagues. And I was looking for a community where I could practice my skill sets with people my age, which was not actually something I was good at the time. Peer communication was not a skill that I've been honing or getting great at and understanding. You know, I was on Twitter or X or any of that stuff. So I really wanted to learn that skill too. So I talked with the board about a young professionals community. And so we relaunched it. There was a YP before COVID, but then after COVID, it was just everything kind of got reshuffled as it does after COVID and anything you do. And so I had the opportunity of really relaunching this previous community under an association that's well known. And so American Marketing Association, Young Professional Community, was relaunched in April of 2024, where myself and then my cousin joined me in the forces, is now my co-assistant vice president, Laura Saramelli. So we really joined forces and grown a really strong number of members and curiosity. And the idea behind YP is that we're here to really just be practicing, constantly practicing. Networking is scary, especially when a lot of the time you're the only YP in the room. How do you walk into those conversations when people are already in theirs with their colleagues, or they look like their friends? I don't know. Why am I one to intrude that conversation? Or how do you walk away from that conversation? Just to know that other people are also anxious for a lot of YP. And I think the first thing, and if I could share this story to any YP, is understanding that networking and volunteering are kind of the same thing, and they are the same thing. And so don't get too much into the idea of I should be networking, I should be growing my community. Volunteering is a huge way to help support your connections and know what opportunities are even out there in your community. For me, Cincinnati. And volunteering, I don't know where the stat is, but it's known to actually drive better results for you in the sense of finding a new job because people see you doing. So when you're working that front desk and typing people's names down, you feel like you're missing out on networking opportunity, but you're connecting with the people first off who've built this environment. So they have a lot of connections. They can help guide you to the right connections for the need you have. So you make connections with people who started the event. You make connections with people who walk in. So now you look like an informant. If no one knows where the bathroom is, they'll be like, well, she knows where the bathroom is. She was working the front desk. And so they'll come up to you and ask for help. Thirdly, you're seen as a doer, a proactive person. And you know what work is? Work is doing. So, being a proactive person and showing initiative is a really great resume builder and a resume, display. And one of the best things I want to say, again, I love my professors at Thomas More, is that I was looking for what to do next, and I really want to start building my business. When I was a sophomore in college, I was like, I want to make my business now. Let's do it. And the professor, she showed me how she had a connection with Addy Awards and Ad Club. And so I reached out to the previous president at the time and I joined and I just started handing out awards to these people. I didn't know any of them. And if I have time, I want to share a quick story.
We do have time.
We do. Okay. This is like the best thing to YP, or especially college students. If you don't know what to do with yourself, like you don't know where to network and stuff, I went to this Addy Awards and I was like the greeter, but you know, there were so many volunteers. I didn't feel like my time was fully used. And I didn't know how to introduce myself to these people who clearly work together because they're all winning awards. So I gave myself a fake title of community welcomer or whatever, like award welcomer. And so I walked around this really prestigious event and I started saying, hi, my name's Claire Saramelli and I'm a graphic designer and I'm here to welcome you to Addy Awards. That's my job. I'm welcoming you. So like some people buzzed me away and some people saw the like the anxiety driven on my face probably, but also were like, that's really cool that you're trying to get yourself known and saying hello, and they entertained my conversation. And I got a job interview from that too. Besides the job interview, again, I'm practicing my confidence. I'm practicing being uncomfortable, which I think that's something that's really important and undervalued, is being okay with being uncomfortable and putting yourself out there. And if it didn't go well, no one would see me again. But anyways, just giving yourself that purpose, that permission to go into a room, whatever it is, giving yourself a fake title and a reason to interject But anyways, I can go on about YP, but it's something I am very passionate about. Thank
But
you.
this is so cool, like to strike up a conversation. We are already like so nerve-wracked when you're coming up and then someone buzzes your way and you're like, I'm just doing my best. I just
Yeah.
want to be here. I want to interact. So what would be the hook for me, the right hook actually, to make you interact with me as well so that we can have a conversation. I can learn more about you. You can learn more about me. And that should how conversations should
Yeah.
go. And it's weird that like we all have to like bring up so much courage in ourselves and just be like, okay, I'm putting myself out there. I'm being uncomfortable. And that's really important too. Being uncomfortable, like you said, is a really an underrated skill. We should all learn to be more uncomfortable in situations that we need to like hone in our skills. And then I think that's how our learning journey continues.
I love how you word that too, because it's about how can I come into this conversation, but what value do I bring to this conversation? And as a, junior in college, I didn't bring much value besides, hey, I'm an eager learner, let's go. So what value did I bring to these people that already had a full team they weren't necessarily hiring? And at the time, the only value was to welcome them. And so that was the value I brought. And again, these are words and terms in business that I was not familiar with, but I was doing the practice, which was what value do I bring? I am a volunteer at Addie Awards. That's prestigious and recognizable. So let me go and be an Addie Award representative and welcome these people. I am welcoming you. That's the value I bring. And then that creates a conversation from there, and then just authentic being yourself. And hoping that carries it as far as it can go. But I love how you're saying that, because it's just like when you start a conversation, it's about what value can I bring to this? Because it's not just about take, take, take. And that is something that, again, with AMA, I feel very honored because there's been so much support. And even people who've listened to this podcast, if there's anyone I can help, please feel free to reach out because I want to give back just as much as I've received.
Shout out to all the AMAs all across the country.
Yeah.
AMAs are actually doing a great job for people, you and me, and all the others who are joining, thinking of joining, or are already a part of this. How did moving into leadership change how you work, and what were the biggest challenges in stepping back from hands-on execution?
So the base thing with leadership is there's leadership, coaching, and then there's also like executive thinking that comes with that leadership persona. So with executive thinking, it's important to really understand what you're doing and asking the good questions. It's not about the answers. So when you're go, 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 and you're working on, let's say, a dog food campaign, and you had a CEO or a CMO asking you, hey, we have this new product for this new dog food, what can you do? And previously, when you're in that go, go, go mindset or strategist mindset, you're really thinking, okay, I can make email, I could do a website, I could do a really fun TikTok ad thing. You're thinking about all these little minor details. When you're in this leadership position, you're really supposed to take that step back and ask those overarching questions like, okay, well, who's the audience? When is this product coming out? What's the purpose behind it? Are we going to use the same branding, or is this going to be a whole new sub series that maybe we should do as a sub like brand underneath the parent brand? How many people should we have on the team? Does it make sense to loop this person in? Why are they not in this meeting? So it's about asking these questions, and then what kind of data can we pull from these campaigns? What measures, what KPIs are important for this to be successful? So it's really up there thought, but it's really hard at first when you're constantly in the weeds and working on websites and blogs and everything. So taking a step back and thinking, what does my team need from me? What does the task need from me? But then, like, how can I really make sure we're answering the right questions before we even put time into that project? And then the other side of it, of leadership's that coaching side, which is something I super enjoy because my family are all teachers. Majority of them are all in the education of some sorts. And so education has always been a big part of my blood, my DNA. And leadership creates a space where I can coach and help educate on creatives. So it's giving creative direction. It's taking some time and really saying, hey, yes, I'll show you how Canva works. Let's go through this one step at a time. to the excitement of when a team member presents a new landing page and just saying, "Oh my goodness, that looks amazing." And then, going from there and then presenting that. So for leadership, it's really about asking good questions and then being in the present with your team and educating and coaching. And honestly, some of the time you're also receiving education and coaching yourself too, and leaving space for that, because it's not my show, it's not anyone's show. We're a department, and creating that right culture of that we're working on this together, let's do this together. I might not even have the right ideas, let's see what this teammate has to approach with. And so it's about creating a community within your department, and that's something that I've always have been drawn to too, because in majority of my spots, and then with the clients I've worked with, I've had to build marketing departments out of solo marketer, and really seeing, well, okay, this is what we're doing for the CEO, this we're doing for the client, but then what can I do to help make the next marketing person's position easier? So a lot of time when doing client work, I'm creating these Adobe files, and I'm not just naming these files as something that I can just get back to when I create this guy his next logo, because I don't know if that's going to be me, and I want to make sure his life is successful or her life is successful. So it's naming those files user friendly so that any graphic designer can plug in and utilize it. So leadership, not only is it directing and coaching and supporting a team, but it's also asking follow-up questions, the big questions. But then also leadership in yourself and the responsibility that you have with anyone that's going to work on a project and putting out their good work. So having good collaboration. And so the hardest thing, to get back to the root of it, is just taking a step back, which really does make me think of my drawing classes. I always go back to my drawing classes, my fine art classes, because if you get really tiny into the details of someone's face and you're drawing the face, you can draw that eye, and you find yourself naturally drawing into that paper. And then when you start getting closer and closer to the paper, you start breathing heavier. You start overthinking it. You start wondering, why am I even doing that color? Why am I doing this? Why am I putting so much attention to that? And anxiety starts coming up. But when you fold yourself out of the art and you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, this is the direction. This is why. This is the purpose. And so it's self-leadership within yourself. It's understanding the bigger purpose, and then communicating that back with your team, and then leaving space for the communication to be received as well.
That is beautifully put. And while you were talking, I could just think of one thing along all the things that beautiful things that you have said, is shout out to Brian Hurst for connecting me with you, because I am learning so much from this conversation. The space that you're talking about, when you are a leader, you're not just leading someone else, you are also leading yourself into a new sphere. You have teaching moments for yourself and for the other person. Beautifully put. While we are talking about collaborating and leadership, how does collaborating with sales influence your marketing strategies? And what lessons have you learned from coaching and education and educating sales teams?
So that is very important, because this isn't Claire's show. This is the company, the client's show, and understanding that it creates multiple teams to make something happen, to move. My first job, I was a solo marketer right out of college, reporting to the VP of sales and marketing. And so he had a really strong sense into what sales is and what marketing is. And there was a 30-person sales team. And the value that I learned there is, again, I'm working with HR and putting up all these employee spotlights, but then also I'm trying to understand what is marketing as a graphic designer. And then also LinkedIn is coming out. LinkedIn has only been around for, like, let's say 3 years at that point. I just made a LinkedIn account because my teacher was like, you should have a LinkedIn account. I'm like, okay, cool. But then I became an expert of LinkedIn. This is pure AI and all of that. And so this 30-person sales team that's been in sales for plenty of years were reaching out to me about, hey, how do I use LinkedIn like this? How do I use LinkedIn like that? To where it became a natural conversation, because, again, we both reported to the same person. And so I was in the same meetings as them, and really seeing that they want to do better. They want to learn. They want to understand their audience. They want to know where their audience is at. And how can I support them as a marketer? And the first thing that I did, it was just an aha moment for myself, is that we had these product launches and campaigns, and I was updating the LinkedIn cover, the company's LinkedIn cover, company's social media posts, the company's blogs and email signatures. How do I do that for the sales team though? Because the sales, this business is very old and rooted in the sense of that it's been around for a while. And it's really through the sales team that we're getting any of these new leads for right this second. How can I keep the modern, upgraded new products that we're all excited about informed organically and through awareness of the sales? And so I generously just made some LinkedIn individual profiles, which is a different template than the company pages. So I had to create a new template. And then I created an info guide sheet and a meeting on how to implement this onto their page and talked about why you should even have a cover photo. Because most of them, let's be real, they don't have cover photos on their LinkedIn profiles. And so I really became a LinkedIn enthusiast and started creating natural assets. So then when we're also doing their LinkedIns, I'm also creating them new email signatures on their Outlooks. And so seeing that curiosity within the sales team of a 30-person salesperson team, I'm trying to find value. I'm growing something for the brand. But I also wanted to help educate them on personal branding before personal branding was even a thing. And so that is something I really love to see in a sales team is the willingness to have conversations with marketing. Marketing utilizing sales for their thought leadership, using operations for their thought leadership, but then also asking them, like, what audience are you seeing? How can I help you? Because ultimately, I'm here to help sales and perform with infographics, presentations. Can I make a blog or a landing page to enforce your concepts of XYZ? And so, to not communicate with sales would be having a blind eye to what's really out there. We might have all this data saying, hey, this is the right audience, this is what I'm going to target. But if those aren't the people we're bringing in, then right now, that's not the audience we're targeting if they're converting and they're converting for the things that we want them to convert for, the products that we're trying to sell. So let's really understand that. I think that's a great idea. That audience that we're currently talking about is a great idea for the future. But right now, this is the audience that's actually bringing in the ROI. So through sales and their conversations, and maybe you jump in on their meetings and listen to them, you can then really hone in and make sure that the website and our social presence is echoing what sales is seeing. And again, you really need to be able to communicate that business direction clearly between the departments. And again, it's not just about sales though, it's also about understanding operations and how can they be thought leaders at your blogs. And then working with HR of how can we keep everyone informed of all these new things happening while also touching in on award ceremonies that you might have going on or any other initiatives HR is trying to do to grow the company.
I like how you said that how data drives creativity and how creativity drives data. I think at this point it's coming to full circle while you were talking about sales and how you can help sales. It's all connected. I ask this question to all the guests that I have all during your journey. What's the maximum number of tabs that you have seen on your browser open?
So many tabs, I need so many other browsings.
Thank
I think that really depends. So, like when I'm working in paid media, I have so many tabs open. I don't have a number, but it's definitely relevant to where I have multiple browsing pages to support those many tabs.
It is a teamwork of our browsers and us.
Yeah, and then how many screenshots? That's really the one I kept tallying up. That's over the thousands.
But I hope that AI helps us to sort these tabs out for us. Moving to AI, AI is reshaping marketing fast. From your perspective, what are the creatives reacting to, and what human skills will matter the most in an AI-driven future?
Yeah, so AI is definitely a hot buzzword right now. And it's the first reaction you get from anyone is that it's scary, intimidating, unknown. And that's a very valid, I mean, I go through it too. When you go through Instagram, you're just doom scrolling, like, is this even real anymore? And it is jarring. But as a creative and a marketer, it's important to also hone these crafts because, Facebook was scary for a while, computers were scary for a while. So it's important to stay up on it and understand the policies and restrictions that are put behind it that marketers are supposed to follow under and the compliances. But then also, how can this better our usage in the workforce? So for creatives, it's the doom and gloom that AI is here to take my job. And it does appear that way at first when you're going through like Instagram and you're seeing all these people just utilizing it. Look how easy it is now. But I want to argue that for photographers, when iPhones came out, it was scary for them to be like, oh, well, I'm gonna lose my skill set. I see so many more photographers coming out right now, and they're constantly coming out. And it's important to have that raw footage of somebody who really knows how to use a really strong camera. And phones aren't taking that business. Now, does it make it harder? Yes, but that's why, as a marketer and as a business owner, it's important to hone into what makes you unique and what value do you bring. So, for creatives, what's really important is that you are listening to what the customer wants and that you have the skill sets and the upbringing that AI just will not deliver on. You know, I use AI for a lot of things and to help bridge communications between me and executives when it comes to creative breaches. You know, you can quickly go into AI, they can type in what they're looking for, PowerPoint, workflows, concepts, where it's a very, very busy and confusing AI graphic. But then as a graphic designer, I take that and I simplify it and I make it clear to what audience we're talking to. For AI to know, okay, let's make a workflow or an illustration for a PowerPoint presentation, that illustration is going to have all this extra fluff of like little stars and flowers, or it's going to be overcrowded or not following your color palette or not really understanding who your audience is, and that some of that stuff just doesn't make sense or isn't relevant for that executive audience you're looking for. So AI is there to help guide conversations and communication and speed along the process. So it's always a tool within your tool belt. And that's all AI is. It's just a hammer. It's just like Photoshop or Salesforce Marketing Cloud. It's just another tool that you get to utilize to automate your process and speed along your research, speed along creative briefs, but it's not there to take it over. And going to that human skills that you mentioned, it's really becoming more and more important to keep that human skill, to not use AI as your LinkedIn bio write-up, and having your own creative and authentic voice in your LinkedIn profile. AI is there to help edit it, but you should have a bullet points and a relatively clean direction before AI comes in and makes you sound a little bit more polished. I love AI personally for the conversational piece of it, as you can click the microphone, tell it all your thoughts, your worries, your successes, and it'll help compartmentalize that thought to really say, is that a direction I want to go for my business? Or is that something that, you know, I just needed to process in that moment? You know, we've also talked about in past conversations about sales and how it's going to become more and more obvious when AI is kind of becoming the intersection between that connection and that sale. And, you know, I am interested to see what that looks like. I'm seeing studies now that are coming out saying that AI is becoming your buyer. So that's one side of it, is that AI is now your buyer. They have a seat at the table. But then also as the consumer side, if you have AI receiving all your phone calls, as we've experienced on doctor visits, how is that gonna help speed up communication if you have very frustrated customers before they even get to that human connection? So that human touch is very important in showing who you are, what your company stands for, but then also who you are as an individual in the professional world.
Are there some AI products that you are really excited about?
I need to get more into them again. There's been a few that I've used in the last 3 to 4 years, and when I was sole marketer at the startup, I would always joke with my colleagues that AI was my teammate, because at the time we didn't have the resources to outsource to vendors and hire me a partner, because that's just where we're at with the startup. So what I really enjoyed at that time was, and these are going to be old school now, but was like Otter AI, or like all those transcriber tools. So like when you have a meeting and you're talking to somebody who's very left brain thinking, or they have so much to share with you, and you're just like, I barely had my first cup of coffee. I can't take all that right this second, but let's have the meeting anyways. It can transcribe you the full meeting. And I know that's so normal now in transcribe meetings, but Otter AI, I was able to download the videos, upload the videos into that. So it was my own custom journey of it, instead of having this transcriber that's kind of almost getting overdone in every meeting. But when you save it for the important ones where you're trying to do thought leadership blogs, and then having it there to really, really explain these really complex concepts of a new product, it really helps break it down. and then using AI to help explain it to you like you're two, so you really know what are you selling. And it also helps because a lot of time if you're confused, audience is confused, and you really need to make sure you're speaking in plain terms when speaking on your website specifically. So I've really enjoyed transcribing tools. I want to get more into the automation side of it, streamlining my meetings and communications. I'm seeing that Gmail is having pre-written replies to people on
Yeah.
your email accounts, which I think is interesting. That's very new. And I don't know if I love it. I've used it a few times now, so I click reply, but then I have to like update the it's really only good for the name and like the first line of thank you. Hi person, thank you. Edit everything else. So it's still not great, but one thing that I really love as a creative is that Photoshop has generative AI, and I'm sure all the graphic designers out there are very familiar with it. But I made Christmas gift for my mom 2 years ago, and there's a big family of I, and we did photos of us when we were kids, and we bunched us all together. And this is when generative AI first came out. And I took the old baby photos of all of us, and I took that background, and through AI, I was able to take the actual photos of us now, and was able to implement the 1990s appearance on the back of it, which was really sweet. And I made it into an album for my mother for Christmas one day.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. But then how can you also take that as an artist and find like new textures? So, if you're working on a really detailed cloth and you need to show like that cloth print, can find those prints through generative AI. Or it can help you complete a project. Again, notice how I'm saying complete projects, not do the project.
That's really sweet that you were able to bring the 90s background to your photos of now and then get it for a gift for your mom.
Yeah.
For our young marketers today and our young professionals, what advice would you give out to designers and marketers who are balancing creativity with strategic thinking?
I think it's important just to try everything without fear. You don't know what's going to catch. And so going in and just jumping in and saying, that's what I'm going to be today. That's what I'm going to do today. And then seeing what happens from it. Try, try, try. It's so important to have curiosity, and it really builds your confidence in seeing that, hey, it's a concept of making your bed. Like, I made my bed today. It's going to be fine. Going to the gym in the morning, I designed successful today. The rest of the day is going to be fine. But also, on this other side of it, is that you're learning all these new skills, soft skills, hard skills, and that people see what you're doing and that you don't have to do it the right way. So, like, a lot of the time, what gets in the way for me is trying to find the perfect route versus just a route. And I'm still struggling on a lot of concepts of that. But, not letting that get in your way of, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go do that. And it's going to build your confidence where you're not just doing it, you are doing it. And from there, you're going to meet people that are going to become such great friends and mentors. And you're going to build confidence, but also learn communication and how do you talk about these skill sets. And then you're going to see that, I really should hone into that skill and then follow through with that skill. So, like when you're out there networking, it's not about the amount of people you talk to. It's about who did you talk to that added value to yourself, the meaningful conversations. Write those down, connect with them on LinkedIn, send them a LinkedIn request, and in your note, say, hi, person, it was so great meeting you. Here's the conversation I had with you, and then send it off. And then when they accept it, ask for a simple coffee connect. And I did a coffee connect once a month for about 4 years, and it was
Wow.
great. And I loved it. It was virtual sometimes, but most of the time was in person. And that's what remote life when I was working during COVID and my startup was remote. So it was very nice that I had that opportunity. But I met someone new every month and I had a meaningful conversation. It was from a previous conversation that we'd pick up from somewhere. And then the biggest tip is that I call it coffee connects, but in college I used to call it like introduction interviews. But instead of calling it introduction interviews, because that's so awkward, just say like introduction meetings. Coffee Connects is my favorite though. And so I started that in college, stopped for a little bit, and then did it again after COVID. And then at the end of every meeting, always say, this is really insightful. Thank you for sharing XYZ. Do you have anyone you'd recommend for me to meet next? And that's how you keep it moving. But yeah, so just don't overstress about it. Just start somewhere, and you can start in multiple areas. Don't have to be perfect at it. But yeah, that's what I would say to any YP right now or anyone college.
I don't know if you realize, but in between, you just gave us the perfect template for our LinkedIn messages and
Yeah.
you also gave it a great title, which is much better than introduction, which is Coffee Connect. I
Yeah.
think I might be using it. So
Yeah.
thank you for providing us that cute title and that strategic template.
Yeah. And you can do a coffee connect at a happy hour too. So it doesn't just have to be for the
That is
morning.
true. I love me some espresso martini.
Yeah, Martini Connect. There you go.
As we wrap up today's conversation, what really stands out is how your journey reflects the evolution of marketing itself. Starting in design, moving through strategy, leaning into data and CRM, stepping into leadership, and now thinking critically about AI, not as a threat, but as a tool, as a useful tool. Throughout this conversation, one theme that kept coming up to me is creativity doesn't lose its power when it's measured. It gains a direction, and data doesn't replace intuition. It sharpens it. And performance doesn't diminish creativity. It gives its accountability and scale. Thank you so much, Claire, for being this wonderful guest on our show today. I really enjoyed our conversation and I learned a lot of things from you, from your perspective and through your leadership. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate being part of this.